7 o'clock. Good morning, Pyle. Hope you had a great weekend. Jim Davis along with the Buckeye Boy from the Bose Arth Miller Chevrolet Buick Studios, the most trusted name in automobiles. Maverick baseball team moves on to the Super Regional. Had some hope there for a while. Maybe, possibly, maybe, maybe Kingsville might win. But they didn't.
Yeah.
At least they forced it to the Saturday game and
right.
Give us some hope. And then
Mavs snuck by.
Mavs game started like an hour before the Kingsville Angelo State game.
Yeah, that game was supposed to start at noon our time, but got pushed back somehow.
And then... apparently. And that game was like in the seventh inning when the Mavs game finished. So, I mean, because our game was like 4 hours long.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when you score 28 runs. Jordan Stubbings had himself a day.
Yeah, he did.
Matthew Turner had himself a day.
Jordan Stubbings had himself a weekend in that game.
Yes, he did. 8 RBIs for Jordan Stubbings, including a first inning grand slam. So the Mavericks will be at Angelo State starting on Friday. We do not know what time yet. She'll be talking to Chris Hanks tomorrow about it. But great crowds out at the Diamond at the Bergman Sports Complex this past weekend. The Rockies continue their ugly ways, losing to the Mets 2-0 on Sunday. Remember when they started out this year being really dominant at home? Those days are gone. At least after this past weekend, anyway. So if you got some thoughts on that, Nazem Kadri getting death threats after the Jordan Bennington hit where he's going for loose puck. Rosen is there for the Blues. They both go for it. They end up careening into Jordan Bennington, the Blues goaltender.
Mm-hmm.
Bennington sustains a knee injury. He is done for the rest of the series. And Nazem Kadri, look, I get it in that Nazem Kadri has a reputation. The hit on Falk, St. Louis Blues fans already have an axe to grind.
Yeah.
And I understand why they do from that standpoint. Because the hit on Falk was last year was dirty.
Yes, it was.
I mean, we're Avs fans, but that was a dirty hit.
Right. And so I was talking with a friend. Nazem Kadri has a deserved and well-earned reputation for kind of being a cheap shot artist.
He plays with that edge, and sometimes in the past, he's pushed it beyond what is just really solid, physical, aggressive hockey.
And sometimes it's borderline. Sometimes it's eye of the beholder, right? If you're Burgundy and Blue, you're like, yeah, it's fine. If you're St. Louis Blues, you're like, that's dirty. This one, I can understand, but this was a hockey play, right?
Yeah.
He didn't elbow a dude in the head like he did last year, go high against somebody. This is a hockey play where a defender took him down and...
going for a loose puck in front of the net.
I think if it was just Nazem Kadri, I don't think there's as much momentum and...
But there's the history with him in Bennington, too, which...
But what I mean is...
Remember, this season, Bennington swung his stick at him for the Falk incident.
Without a defender, I don't know if the hit on Pennington causes that much injury, because that's a lot of dude to be falling on your goaltender. With two of them. With one of them, I don't know. That's just me.
The play with Callie Rosen and Bennington and Kadri itself, it was unfortunate for Bennington to get hurt.
Yeah.
It wasn't a dirty play. But
it wasn't dirty.
But for Nazem Kadri, though, that is where the history sadly follows him, though.
He's got a rep.
Where he's not going to get any benefit of the doubt on that. Even when he didn't do anything wrong on that play.
Look, his reputation's deserved.
It precedes him, and it has. But let's just, on that moment, that incident from Saturday, it wasn't a cheap shot.
I don't think so. That wasn't a cheap shot of that game.
Wasn't a dirty play, like they said on TNT. If his skates, I think Bissonnette might have said this, can't remember who it was. If his skates were pointing right at at Jordan Binnington, then he was trying to run him.
Yeah.
He wasn't. You could tell his skates were a little, if you watch, slow it down. It looks like he's trying to slow down on that play. And he was purely going for the puck. But once again, he's going to get this kind of heat because he has earned this kind of heat in the past. And this is, you and I, we love the Avalanche, and man, I want him to win the cup and everything. And I think Nazem Kadri is innocent in this particular incident. But man, that's where your history comes back to catch up with you. Your reputation precedes you, and it's a bad reputation for Nazem Kadri. And it's great that he wrote the piece in the Players Tribune and the things he's gone through, and he felt bad about the fall kit last year.
But he still has been suspended out of three of the last five postseasons.
Yeah.
And two of those were on the same day, 1 year apart.
Yeah.
So there's a reputation there. And like I've said a couple times, he's earned that. Rightly or wrongly, that is his reputation, and it is not entirely undeserved because of the hit last year, because of some of his antics in Toronto. He's an irritator. He's an instigator guy. If he runs into
somebody.
He's Claude
Lemieux or he's Bill Romanowski.
To a lesser extent,
he's a guy that you want on your team. You like him when he's on your team because he brings that edge, that toughness, that does the dirty stuff that some guys won't do.
Right.
And though Kadri is a guy that is a very skilled player too. Let's not. Mm-hmm. It's not all about him being a dirty player. There is offensive skills there. There is a skill set there.
I mean, he's in the league for a reason, and it's not because he's a pest. You know what I mean?
Right.
That just is another aspect of his game. He hits anybody that leaves the game with an injury. That other team's fan base could be like, look at that dirty cheap shot artist. He injured our guy on purpose. Whether or not that's how it actually happened, that's the reputation he has, for lack of a better word, cultivated.
Yeah.
So that is part of the deal. So the threats, way too much. Throwing stuff at him, too much. But
the heat that he's received, I get it.
Yeah.
No. Yeah, you're right. Death threats. Come on. Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you want to talk about dirty hits. One on Sam Girard, to me, is way more egregious. That dude dialed him up from 20 or 30 feet away and had him in his gun sights and just wrecks him from behind into the boards.
A broken sternum. Yeah. By the way, if you're not sure what happened or what we're talking about here, took that shot on Saturday and up against the boards. Barbashev, who's the one that hit him.
Barbasol, I believe.
Barbasol.
The shave cream.
Sammy would have much preferred a shave than a mugging like he got. They were saying on TNT it's borderline play. That if Girard is in a shorter, less physically imposing defenseman, if he's bigger, then he probably takes that shot more in the hip, withstands it a lot better. Okay, I see.
I had to turn off the intermission show at that point because essessentially saying, hey, if Sammy Girard was bigger, he wouldn't have gotten hurt. Yeah. So blaming the injury essentially
on his size,
something he can't control, he tops out at whatever
growth
he tops
rate.
Out at. Yeah.
Yeah, I just thought, okay, I understand what they're trying to say, but it's still.
He would have been fine if he was bigger.
It doesn't matter. He's not bigger. And he's got a broken sternum. He's done for the rest of the postseason.
That very much strikes me as the Blues would have won that game if they scored more goals.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, thanks. Thanks for that. Thank you, Yogi Berra. Is charming. You're an idiot.
So anyway, busy weekend. Mavs winning the regional title. They're part of the South Central region. And so now they take on Angelo State at Foster Field on Friday. Still haven't got a game time for that yet. Palisade Bulldogs, just go out and do what they've been doing all season long. Just dominating. Winning against Aurora Central. Then they take down Falcon in the championship game. and
a couple of run rules
for the Bulldogs, and they'll be playing over at the University of Colorado Springs on Friday in the state tournament, place that they have not been in a very, very long time. I'd have to look back and see when the last time they got this far.
I know they lost
the state championship game in baseball to Rifle, like in the 80s, like the mid-80s, because our friend Jeff Miller out at Fertile Monument was on that team, and my neighbor Sean Stratton was on that team that they lost to Rifle, and that would have been, mid-90s around there? Mid-80s, like 84, around there, 85. And so it's been a while since, I can't remember the last time they got to this point, though, where you go through regionals, and of course now you're into the state championship round of the state baseball tournament.
And I think half of the regionals still need to be played.
Montrose still hasn't played. They play today at 1 o'clock against Denver North over at Northfield. So
you got Region 2 needs to finish up. Region 3 hasn't even started. Like you mentioned, that'll be today. Region 4 hasn't even started. And Region 8 up at Rifle didn't even get underway.
Yeah.
So they'll all play today. I think some of the games are starting at 10. I think Montrose maybe plays at 3 is what I saw. They play at 3 o'clock this afternoon against Denver.
So it's 3, not 1 o'clock, because they had it still on the bracket as 1.
Yeah, they have Northfield, Battle Mountain at 1, Montrose, Denver North at 3.
Okay.
Championship game to follow. So Montrose still has a chance. Rifle still has a chance. There's a chance to get 3 Western Slope teams into the final 8.
And hopefully that'll be the case. Yeah, correction, and I think I might have even my sports mentioned 1. They play at 3 today, Montrose, Denver North. So my e-sports guy on that one. But that'll be Northfield Battle Mountain.
It's a long weekend.
That first game, yes.
Mesa's still scoring runs. So they're still scoring runs.
And that was at the fifth inning where they scored 11 runs. They sent 16 guys to the plate, Mesa did. 16 guys. It was just a bludgeoning. For a moment, you felt bad for saying Edwards a little bit.
Yeah.
Just a little bit. It's like, yikes.
Like, man, because those kids, there was a point to where they're just like, all right, I just want to go home.
We're just not ready.
You can tell. They're like, I'm done. I just want to go home.
They're the ones chanting, start the bus.
Yeah.
Because I'm ready.
Please
ready.
Start the bus.
It's a long trip back to Austin.
Mm-hmm.
Can we just start the bus, please?
Did you see where it was not necessarily the championship game, but the Midwest, Wabash and Iowa Western. The early game, it was 6-4 Wabash through 6, and they win 21-4.
Jeez.
They put up 10 runs in the ninth.
And we talked with Mark Rare in Iowa Western. He felt like the strength of their team was their pitching staff. Not this past weekend, I hate to say.
They gave up 30 runs yesterday in 2 games.
Ouch.
Yeah.
And Crowder won their district, so Crowder coming back. Wabash will be here for the first time in a couple of years.
So Iowa Western beat them Friday, 12-4. And then Wabash went out 13-0, 11-1, 21-4, 9-1. And they're coming back. So apparently, they kind of woke up. The Warriors did the Reavers on Friday morning.
No kidding.
Everybody else in that tournament is like, thanks.
And that kept getting pushed back because the weather. And then one game they had it went long and they don't have lights at Mount Carmel, Illinois. And
hey, at least they wrapped a couple of their games up early with the run rule. So.
at least they're able to do that.
Yeah.
All right. Text or call the show today, 970-242-1340. Jim along with the Buckeye Boys. So we've got a busy show. Hope to talk with Nate Porter in the 8 o'clock hour. Unfortunately, your conversation with Nate was
interrupted by lack of power.
Because somebody, we're not going to name names.
Yeah.
Or are we going to name names?
There's a lot of finger pointing back and forth.
We're not sure who.
There's
a couple of culprits.
Yeah.
Coach
at Palisade.
Yes, a very successful coach at Palisade.
A
prominent
athletic director that's not attached to a school here in town.
Okay.
Won't give you any names.
One, you just threw him under the bus. The first one, It's open for interpretation.
Yes. Let's see. Way he will go. Be entering his second year as a coach.
Believe us.
So it's not Joe
team
Romano.
Making a or winning a league title, mm-hmm. Going to the state tournament.
Yep.
Also, I said state tournament, not mm-hmm. state playoffs.
State tournament. And they won that game.
And they did.
Mm-hmm. Beat okay. crosstown rival okay. in that game. We, at their own
barn. Why don't we just say their names at this point and just yeah. be done with it? I'm sure Corey Hitchcock and Paul Kane did not mean to do that.
No.
Whoever was responsible.
Literally. So.
Literally pulled the plug. Because I'm driving home from doing the Mesa game.
Yep.
Listening to the end of your game, you talking to Nate, and then and then I heard a little, I think you guys unplugged us. Somebody, yeah. I don't know if Nate.
Because it went to the speakerphone.
Yeah, it went to the speakerphone.
And so I'm like, I think we got unplugged. We're done.
And then, boop, you were gone.
Yeah. So.
All right, so chance to win with the number game today. Also, should we go ahead and do it right now, announce who the winner of our
GGA
Golf PGA Championship contest?
Yes, since okay. Justin Thomas won.
Okay, hold on.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, the winner of the contest.
It's another winner on the Team Sports Network.
Mike from Scottsdale.
Now, fortunately for Mike Justin from Scottsdale, Thomas. Because of Mike from Scottsdale, didn't have family that lives here.
One of us, you and me, would have a brand new wedge.
No, whoever had the second highest finishing golfer would have a new wedge from Ty.
Yeah, I poked through the rules. I think
No.
He forfeits that to the host.
No, hosts. I don't
we
think
get to
that's...
share.
We're going to share a wedge?
Yes.
We're going to share?
You may have to hit from your knees.
No. No, that's... the no.
You can't really choke up on a wedge.
No. I can't offer that. No. That's not going to happen. Sorry. That would never happen. No. So, fortunately for Mike from Scottsdale, his daughter's here.
Mm-hmm.
Grandkids are here. Her grandchild, I believe. That I'm sure they'll be able to figure out a way for them to get that wedge for him.
Let's go while we're young.
Okay. It's time for...
What's happening?
Congratulations to Mike from Scottsdale, by
air
the
quotes,
way.
Congratulations.
Congratulations on that. All right, Justin Thomas won the second major of his career in defeating fellow American Will Zalatoris in three playoff holes to win the PGA Championship Sunday at Southern Hills Country Club at Tulsa, Oklahoma. For Thomas, like I said, his second major. And afterwards, he talked about the battle of the week because Thursday got off to a really, really rough start and then was able to go on and you know, his dad kind of helped him with the swing and everything. You will hear from him coming up in a little bit, but kind of helped him regroup, refocus to get that win Sunday at Southern Hills at Tulsa, Oklahoma. Congratulations to Justin Thomas. The 17th-ranked Cover Mesa baseball team is moving on to the D2 Super Regionals after blasting St. Edwards, Texas 28-9 at Bergman on Saturday. Mavs first baseman Jordan Stubbings drove in 8 runs with 2 home runs, one of them a grand slam. CMU coach Chris Angs challenged his club before the game.
Our guys played great today. They answered the bell. You know, we challenged to be offensive, and I told them that I wouldn't be satisfied unless we got into double digits, and we did more than that.
CMU will play in the South Central Super Regional at Angelo State starting this Friday. Game time has not been announced. The Rockies were at Coors Field yesterday, wrapped up their series with the Mets. They fall 2-0 to the Mets yesterday. Avalanche play their game tonight in St. Louis, up 2-1 in their playoff series with the Blues. Break game at 7 tonight on the Team Sports Network. The top-seeded 4A Palisade baseball team's quest for a state title continues. After sweeping Region 1 Saturday, the Bulldogs hammered Aurora Central 10-0 to win in 5 innings and then defeated Falcon 13-3 in 6 innings to claim the region title. Mauricio Perez tossed a complete game in the Game 1 win with Ryder Mancuso pitching the Bulldogs to the win in Game 2. Mancuso went 3-for-4, a couple of ribbies with Brett Rosman adding a home run and 3 RBI. The Bulldogs move on to play at the University of Colorado. Colorado Springs are still waiting to see who they face. With the bad weather in the Front Range, Montrose is in action at 3 today when they face Denver North at Northfield. In 5A, Fruto Monument lost to Horizon 7-3 in Aurora. The Wildcats' Jack Deere tripled in a run with Andrew Lee hitting his 8th home run of the season. In 3A, North Fork lost the regional championship game to Bayfield 8-3. Delta beat Bennett 11-0 but lost to Sterling 13-3 in the regional championship game. Central's Justin Blandenford, a Monument's Daniel Thomason, and the Cedar Edge girls are all champions after this past weekend at the state track and field championships in Lakewood. Blanton repeated as the 4A 400-meter state champion, also won the 200-meter title. He just missed out on winning the 100 as a senior, finished just 2/100ths of a second out of first place. Blanton was also a member of the Warriors' second-place 4x400 relay team. He'll run track and play football at Colorado Mesa. Central junior Daniel Barimba was second in the discus. Florida Monument freshman Daniel Thomason won the 5A state high jump title, clearing 6 feet 5 inches. Palisades' Gabby Horton took second in the 100 and will compete at CMU next season. The Cedar Edge girls repeated as the 2A team champions, with the Bruins' Kylie Terry winning the 200 and 400, and the 1A boys' DeBeck Scotty Vines won the high jump championship. He had the highest jump of anybody in the state this season, 6 foot 10 inches for Scotty Vines, by the way, with the Dragons' Trevor Lewis repeating as the 800 champion. And that's a quick look at
what's happening.
As we mentioned, Crowder College, they're back in the Junior College World Series. Wabash Valley, the number 2 team in the nation, also qualifying for the Junior College World Series. So we'll find out tomorrow from the Division I NJCA Baseball Committee how they're going to seed the tournament. Seedings will be released tomorrow, with, of course, the tournament starting this Saturday on the Team Sports Network. Don't miss a single second of the Alpine Bank Junior College World Series. Get your tickets now, online only, at JUCOGJ.org. And that's
what's happening.
All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll talk more about the PGA Championship yesterday. Justin Thomas picking up his second major title when it looked like Pereira from Chile was going to win it. He was in a great position on the final day, but the two Americans, Thomas and Zalatoris, end up battling in the playoff for the PGA Championship. We will talk about that coming up in just a moment. Text or call the show today. If you got something that makes the list the good, the bad, and the ugly, you can text us. Chick-fil-A Breakfast Team phone line, 970-242-1340.
I'm the morning guy. I have a Facebook group, 16 members. Some call it a fan page. I don't know.
Oh, hell yeah.
The Jim Davis Show on Colorado's sports leader, The Team.
Welcome back, 726. Jim along with the Buckeye Boy from the Bozarth Miller Chevrolet Buick Studios, the most trusted name in automobiles. All right, yesterday, Justin Thomas wins the PGA Championship, goes to the three-hole playoff with fellow American Will Zalatoris. Mito Pereira, the Chilean. It looked like he was in a great position, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, like a 3-shot lead to start the day. And then when Justin Thomas finished his round, he was a shot behind Pereira. But then Pereira, on the 18th, hit one into the water, finished with a double bogey. And that took him out of it. And then that went to Zalatoris and Thomas to play in the playoff for a chance to win the PGA Championship.
A little tin cupped it there a little bit.
So we look back at just a moment. Not that we like to revel in the misery of Mito Pereira, but we're going to. Some of the worst major finishes, right?
Somehow, going to bed last night, I knew we were going to talk a little John Vandeveld today.
I'm going to start with Greg Norman,
I just knew. And Greg Norman.
We'll get to him, trust me.
And the shark, but I mean.
But Greg Norman, 1996 Masters.
Yeah.
Started the final round 6 shots ahead of Nick Faldo. All Norman had to do was just shoot even par. He shot a final round 78. Faldo went 67 to end up losing the Masters.
All Faldo had to do was shoot one under with Norman's round.
Exactly. John Vandeveld, the 99 Open Championship, as you were referencing.
I can close my eyes when I hear that name and picture his just absolutely lost face standing there. Like, what is happening?
He has to roll up his pants and get into the water. At Carnoustie, he needed only a double bogey on 18 to win. That's all he needed.
He could not get it on the green.
His third shot on 18 landed in the berry burn. And then for a moment he considered hitting out of the water. Then that's when he climbed in and, okay, now this is not going to work.
Took the drop.
He shot a triple bogey, spot in the playoff, which he lost to Paul Lowry.
I still feel bad for that guy. He's out there for the world to see and just cannot get it done.
Justin Leonard, 04 PGA Championship at Whistling Straits.
This is the one I didn't remember.
He had a 10-foot birdie putt on 15 for a 3-shot lead, missed it. Then he missed a 5-foot par putt on 16. On 18, dumped his second shot from the fairway into the grass. Missed his par putt, lost in playoff to Vijay Singh. Retief Goosen, 05 U.S. Goose. Open. Three-stroke lead in the final day at Pinehurst. But then, remember, he 01, 04 champion, shot a front 941. And then he finished with an 81. Michael Campbell had a 1-under-69 to win his first major title.
That course will do that to you, though. Pinehurst, ooh.
Yeah.
That's rough.
It's rough. And the
still
rough is
the
rough.
Goose, the Goose is... He was really good there for about an 8-year stretch. That was not one of them.
Mrs. Doubtfire, Colin Montgomery, 2006 U.S. Open. Montgomery came up short in his second shot, chipped on, and then three-putted on his way to missing the playoff by a stroke on 18.
Then promptly had a stroke.
Phil Mickelson. Golf pariah these days, Phil Mickelson.
Yeah, whose former caddy was on Justin Thomas's bag yesterday.
Yeah. 2006 U.S. Open. At Winged Foot. On 18, all he has to do is par to win his first U.S. Open and third consecutive major. Instead, double bogey to hand it to the immortal Jeff Ogilvy. Mickelson afterward.
I
I'm
have
such
no idea who that
an
is.
Idiot. Oh. So yesterday, as we mentioned, Mito Pereira, guy kind of like Ricky Fowler, rides dirt bikes. I like that. That's cool. They does that.
Wears lots of orange, like Ricky Fowler.
Yeah, it doesn't wear lots of orange. Oh, okay. There was the guy that showed yesterday dressed just like Ricky. And
For a minute,
if I would not, if Ricky did not have his traditional orange and white garb on, you see Ricky Fowler, he's got like the bigger mustache now.
Yeah, the little lip caterpillar there.
Yes, he looks
like a fireman.
Didn't look like the regular, or like a 1900s, early 1900s.
Like a boxer.
Or pitcher.
Yeah, an old-time pitcher, boxer guy. Yeah.
And, but anyway, yeah, the guy in the gallery was dressed up just like him. Stones in his gloves. Gonna fight gentleman Jim Corbett for the championship.
A straight razor shave between rounds.
So yesterday, Justin Thomas wins his second major. And Thomas said that, his caddy, Jim Bones McKay, you mentioned the Mickelson connection there. Said he did an unbelievable job of keeping me in the moment, and I tried to play the golf course for what it is. So remember, Thomas got off to a rough start on Thursday, and thanks to Pereira gagging at the end, got the opportunity. So here's Justin Thomas yesterday after he won the PGA Championship, talking about how his dad kind of worked with him on his swing throughout the weekend and just the mental side of it to get him in the position where he was Sunday to win his second major.
A lot of self-belief, a lot of patience. I wasn't looking at leaderboards today. I was just trying to play golf. It kind of goes back to what I said on Thursday of just not trying to play golf swing, not trying to play, the field, not trying to play to a certain person, really just trying to execute each shot as well as I could, and then wherever it ended up, just give my club to Bones and let's move on and try to do the best we can on the next one. And he did an unbelievable job of keeping me in the moment and keeping me patient today. And it just is an unbelievable team win for all of us.
So there's Justin Thomas on yesterday's win.
I just want a golfer to come out and be like, yeah, I hit some pretty damn good golf shots today.
That's pretty damn good today, wasn't I? I was pretty solid today.
Just tried to stay in the moment, one shot at a time. He's a little bit of Nuke LaLoosh cliche.
After the
Crash Davis talk. And a little bit hockey player, right?
Yeah.
Like, good team win today, good team, guys in the room, and the whole thing. I just want somebody to come out and be like, man, I grinded today.
Just trust in my process.
Yeah. I hit some damn good golf shots today. I was putting unbelievably today. Come on. Just once.
Come on. It's okay, man. You can say that.
Tell
damn, I was good.
Did you all watched.
All right. So we move on to
you
golf.
You guys can't do this. I did today.
We move on to golf to guys that might be golfing in September. Maybe the Colorado Rockies. Sorry. That's too soon. It's way too soon, I know.
September is too far away. They're probably going to be golfing mid-August.
Rockies lose the series at home to the Mets. They fall 2-0 on Sunday. Their Rocks are now 19-21. Where, look, yesterday, they managed, see, you had Brendan Rodgers with a multi-hit game. And that was it. They had five hits on the day yesterday.
Oof.
For the Rockies. That was it. Five hits.
Five bleeping hits.
That's all we got. Taiwan Walker, 7 innings, gave up 5 hits, did not give up a run. And then back in town, Adam Ottavino, automatic auto, 2/3 of an inning he worked.
Mm-hmm.
Walked a couple of guys, strike out. But yesterday, the Rockies falling again to the Mets. So now Colorado, they head to PNC Park in Pittsburgh. Chad Kuhl will go up against his former team. So the righty will face JT Brubaker. That'll be your pitching matchup. 4:35 for that one today. We will have, though, tonight the Avalanche and the Blues on the team at 7 o'clock.
Is that a MLB The Show create a player name?
JT Brubaker? Yeah, it does sound like it. Yeah, there would be a guy that you would...
It'll just be a pixelated face on his headshot. But, I mean, Bryant, Grichik, Crone, you know, having Brendan Rodgers in there. The whole reason for these guys, at least the two free agents, was to add runs to this offense, right?
And let's be fair to Crone. Crone's been really, really good. He's been
there. CJ Crone's been good.
He is an all-star caliber first baseman right now.
Chris Bryant's been out, but the whole point of having these guys come to Denver was to add pop and add runs. Austin Gomber goes out there and was pretty damn good. Scattered 7 hits, gave up 2 runs in 7 innings.
That's good. That's good.
That's
a quality start.
You should win that game at Coors.
Yeah.
And he goes out there, and Taiwan Walker, little fountain of youth action for him.
Yeah.
Flashing back to some Seattle days, 5 hits, 7 innings. You know, you mentioned Brendan Rodgers has 2. And the Brian Servin kid, he's actually... I know it's only been 4 or 5
games,
he's hitting pretty well.
Red hot.
Yeah, the moment is not too big for him right at this
moment.
And,
boy, they need that. They need a catcher that can provide some offense.
Right?
Because we talked, Elias Diaz and Nunez, they initially got off to an okay start, particularly Diaz. But then Nunez has been terrible. And mm-hmm. Didn't they send him back down to Albuquerque?
Yeah, he got DFA'd.
Yeah, the other day. And so
he's on the interstate, 143.
So Servin...
Mm-hmm.
comes up, and his big league debut has been very impressive.
Yeah, Diaz is hitting 206 too. Look who's hitting 242 on the season. Brendan Rodgers.
Brendan Rodgers probably as of late.
Yeah.
It's certainly been one of their best hitters, if not their best hitter as of late.
He's climbing out of the hole. Sam Hilliard's still scuffling, but Jonathan Daza has been really good this year. Not a whole lot of pop, but he's hitting them where they ain't, so that's pretty good too, but you know, with Grichik and Bryant, they have 5 home runs between them. They have 26 RBIs between them. And I know Bryant's missed 15 games or something like that. You know, but the whole point of bringing those two in was so you don't have these 2-0 shutouts, right?
Exactly.
And so now
I guess you get Taiwan Walker. I guess Max Scherzer was healthy and it was Scherzer
right, or
DeGrom. You go, okay.
Yeah, that's going to happen.
It's going to happen.
But the streak of 2 runs or more scored at home is over because Taiwan Walker shut you out for 7 innings. It's like,
come on, guys.
It's just underwhelming.
Come on.
That's the thing. It's not like, even, you know what? Lose 12-10. If you're going to lose by 2 runs, at least score some.
Go big or go home.
Right.
And I make the joke about getting ready for golfing already mm-hmm. for the Rockies. And
Jordan Stubbings by himself could have beat the Mets 4
exactly.
times yesterday.
Yeah, Stubby meet the Mets, and he could have beat the Mets.
Yeah. But alone.
I don't want to say that because we're still so, you know, it's just May. Okay, but we're now in the end of May. And
but I don't get the feeling they're scuffling. I get the feeling this is who they are.
This is kind of who they are right now, and that's not good.
Don't look now. The Reds are creeping up on them, too. They're only 7 games worse than the Rockies.
Oh. No, say it isn't so. All right, 7:39, it's time for soundcheck.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story, and I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
You know who's actually not awful? I mean, their record's not great, but they're kind of fun to watch. The Baltimore Orioles.
Yeah.
They're a scrappy little squad. They're 17-25. Like I said, not great. But they did make some news over the weekend. They called up
Adley,
the stud catcher, Adley Rutschman. And I love me call up videos.
A lot of hype. Today, I think, was a lot about managing your workload. You've got 3 games in a row. Like, I don't want you to feel like, oh, why didn't I play? I know you had that question. But they're trying to be as careful as they can with you. I will say, like, the way you've handled all this has been super impressive. I'm not shocked because the first day I saw you in 2020, like, there was something different. But the way you've handled it and carried yourself, I just want to make sure that you know that you don't have to do more than you're doing, right? Mm-hmm. Like, what you're doing is plenty. Like, don't go out there and do anything more than you have to. We're not looking for a hero. Be Adley Rutschman. Because the regular Adley Rutschman is plenty, right? You get what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Especially when you're going to Camden Yards and you're going to play in the big leagues for the first time. Right?
Like, let's go!
So he's in the office and they're doing this talk, and you can see in his face, he kind of knows.
He's kind of like, yeah,
he knows he's going up.
Why are you saying all this stuff? Okay.
But when all of the other dudes pour into that office and there's like 19 guys in there.
That's fantastic.
It's really cool.
Rutschman tripling on Saturday. Manny Machado in his debut tripled when he was an Oriole.
For an Oriole, yeah.
And Matt Wieners also.
Yeah.
But, you know, both guys went on to have pretty decent careers. So maybe for Adley Rutschman, that's a good omen for things to come in his career.
You know who's getting some ABs for the Oreos right now? Former GJ Rocky Tyler Nevin.
Oh, good.
He's hitting .222, but he's got a bomb, handful of ribbies.
Yeah.
So he's
good
there.
Good guy. Wish him the best.
Mm-hmm. They have an interesting
Dad Phil's footsteps.
Yeah. Yep. Mountcastle, Chirinos, Rougned Odor, Trey Mancini. So they've got a little bit of an interesting roster. They did just DFA former Iowa Western player Anthony Benboom. Remember him?
Sure.
Yeah, he got DFA'd. But other than
Canadian,
that,
I believe, Anthony Benboom.
Yes. So yeah, they've got some interesting little pieces.
Tough division.
Yeah. Chris Owings, former Rocky, is there.
But that's great though, when a guy gets called up and your teammates are just ecstatic for you. I think that's just so cool.
I know we got to get to a break. What it speaks to me, that dude's a number one pick, could very easily be kind of this aloof bonus baby to where he kind of carries himself like he's better than everybody else.
A little bit like Nukalush.
A little bit. For the dudes to pile in that room like that for him shows kind of what sort of teammate he is.
That they like him. They're pulling for him.
Yeah.
Even though they wish they were the one getting the call up,
that speaks to his character a lot. Yeah. I don't think people really realize that.
Yeah, they're rooting for him, not just because he's a good player. He's a good guy, apparently.
Yeah, he's a good dude.
He's a good teammate. So, all right, 7:43, we will take a break. We'll come back. And should mention later on this morning, 8:40, we'll talk with Nate Porter, Palisade baseball coach, waiting to find out who they're going to play.
We're going to keep Corey and Paul away from the phone.
Yeah, we're going to keep Paul Kane and Corey Hitchcock away from our electrical box.
Yeah.
You've talked long enough. Just kidding, guys. We're just kidding. Just giving you guys some
Not
grief.
Not the first, won't be the last.
No, it's happened at Delta before. It's happened out at Central before. Yep. Yeah, it's happened more than once.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll talk with Nate Porter coming up next hour. Also, Anthony Gilich. Last year, they were the runner-up at JUCO. Central Arizona's back. McLennan's back. Hey,
yeah.
Could we see San Jack is back.
Crowder's back. So all 4 guys from our round table from last year are back.
And we do plan on having that again.
Yes, we will.
And that was the first thing. I texted Anthony yesterday. Hey, can you come on? He's like, that roundtable thing,
be
man.
Be there Thursday morning.
Okay. He hopes to be part of that roundtable. Yeah. We will see if that happens. All right, 7:44. We will take a break. We'll come back, and we'll talk a little Colorado Mesa baseball. The Mavericks moving on to the Super Regional to square off against Angelo State after just absolutely obliterating St. Edward's on Saturday. We'll talk about that next on the Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network.
They're a lot of fun. Oh.
The Jim Davis Show. They're idiots.
Say what?
On Colorado Sports Leader, the Team.
Welcome back, 7:48. Jim along with the Buckeye Boy. The good, the bad, the ugly from the weekend. We'll make your list. The hit on Sammy Girard. The encounter with Josh Donaldson and Tim Anderson. And then Anderson, what, hit a bomb against him yesterday? They won a 3-run home run against the Yankees in that series. The Tim Anderson thing, we're not going to get into it right here, him and Donaldson, but that was just...
That one's weird.
That was... Yeah, I'm not sure how to take it or how to dissect it.
Mm-hmm.
In the reference to Tim Anderson, calling him Jackie, because Tim Anderson had made the comment season or so ago that he felt like he was the next Jackie Robinson.
Yeah, these guys
would
bring a lot of years.
Yeah, bring a lot of energy and, you know, a guy that's going to play the game with a lot of passion and those kind of things.
Right.
And Donaldson made the comment, called him that.
Apparently he's been doing it for years with no apparent issue. Maybe it's one of those things where Tim doesn't like it and he just is not going to say anything because Tim Anderson's kind of a good dude, it seems, like all respects. And Josh Donaldson, while kind of a Nazem Kadri type baseball player, he seems like he's all around kind of decent.
Yeah, I don't think he's a horrible guy.
He comes across like a jerk, but I don't think he's just a bad person, right?
And it was deemed racist. And mm-hmm. But if Tim Anderson in the past has been, if he has not said anything about that, and Tim Anderson himself called himself that.
Right.
I'm not sure how to interpret it.
Yeah.
Because when Tim Anderson makes the comment himself about himself, I mean, Donaldson could have been, you know, giving him crap about, think you're Jackie Robinson. Oh, okay, yeah. Jackie. But that to me does not come off, at least initially, as a racial thing. It's more one guy giving another guy crap. It's like if you said, I'm the next Johnny Bench or whatever. Hey, right. Johnny, same thing. If a guy was a catcher,
he's ribbing you because you called yourself Jackie Robinson.
Yeah.
And there are a few different levels to where that's just hilarious. And so, it's kind of what dudes do, right?
Yeah.
You do or say something stupid.
Guys ragging each other. They give each other grief. And I don't know how to interpret it, right? Right.
Yeah. And I obviously don't understand the racial aspect of it. So
I don't either.
Has a problem with that. And now it's just kind of built up to where he can't deal with it anymore. He's been trying to turn the other cheek. That's a different thing, but he's
exactly.
Also got to come out and explain that side of it.
And say, look, I told him to not say that to him anymore, and he keeps doing it.
And then at that point, then I'm like, all right.
Okay, well, what's going
Josh
on
Josh Donaldson's being kind of a Richard.
Yeah, but if it's something you've done in the past and you've said and you never had an issue with it, if you're Tim Anderson, I don't know. I said I don't know how
what's the issue now?
Yeah, why is that? Where wasn't a problem before? Why is that a problem now? All right, text or call us, Chick-fil-A Breakfast Team, phone line 970-242-1340. So the Mavericks, they split the two games on Friday with St. Edward's, winning 4-1, losing 7-4. So that forced the final game of their side of the South Central Region bracket on Saturday at Bergman Field. Mavericks got out to a fast start. Matthew Turner, leadoff home run. There were some changes made in the lineup by Chris Hanks, where Turner moved to left, Julian Boyd got the start in right, and Jonathan Gonzalez started at second base. Harrison Rogers had really been struggling the day before. The big boppers of Hayden McGeary and Spencer Bramwell, they really they really kind of struggled on Friday. And Chris Hanks went out and kind of challenged his ball club to go out and score some runs. And they did that. Turner led out the game with a home run to left field. Then Jordan Stubbings came up, bases loaded, and ripped a grand slam to left field. Mavericks got out to the 6-0 start. They would never look back. They went on to win 28-9. They scored 11 runs in the fifth inning when they had sent 16 batters to the plate on Saturday. And after the game, Tyler Franzen had the chance to talk with Mavericks skipper Chris Hanks about the win and moving on to face Angelo State.
With Coach Chris Hanks. Coach, that's a pretty solid way to close out here at Bergman. We were checking the score. Angelo State's got a pretty good lead there. So more than likely you'll go there next week. So to close out the first season here at Bergman, that's a pretty solid way to do it here.
Neat little field, isn't it? It's a great little stadium. We love it. It's a field of dreams. And I want to thank everybody. We had some nice crowds, didn't we? And love the support. Thanks for the coverage from you guys. But our guys played great today. They answered the bell. We challenged to be offensive. And I told them that I wouldn't be satisfied unless we got into double digits. And we did more than that.
I was going to say, I think you did pretty solid there in that double digits. So real quick here before we wrap things up, you got preparations going into this week, but I think it's safe to say you're going to enjoy this one before you start thinking about Super Regional.
Yeah, we need a couple days off. We'll take Sunday off and Monday with the kids, and we'll get ready for the Super Regional. As you mentioned, I think Angelo's up 10-1 in the seventh or something, so probably going to Angelo. We've won it there two other times, and with this group won it in 19 there, so we know what to expect down there. It's a tough atmosphere. They're a great ball club, but we have a pretty good club too.
All right, there's Chris Hanks after the game on Saturday. Mavericks will play at Angelo State. They did go on to win, beat Texas A&M Kingsville. We do not have a time for that game yet, but we do know it'll be Friday at Foster Field in Angelo, Texas. And as of the moment, we'll have it here on the team, but because of JUCO coming up, we'll probably be moving some of our Mesa coverage over to the Monkey, our sister station. We will keep you posted on that because we'll have the Avalanche over in KNZZ.
Mm-hmm.
Mavs baseball over on the Monkey, and of course we'll have the Junior College World Series right here on the team. So a lot coming up this weekend in terms of local sports and also the Avalanche as well. All right, so the good, the bad, the ugly, what makes your list from the weekend? We'll also have good call, bad call next hour and the number game. But at the top of next hour, we'll talk with Anthony Gillich, the coach of Central Arizona, the runner-ups last year to McLennan, Texas, in the Alpine Bank Junior College World Series. They are back again. The Vaqueros out of Coolidge. And we'll talk with Anthony Gillich. Coming up next, text or call the show. Chick-fil-A Breakfast Team phone line 970-242-1340. The Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network.